that there are things out there that will limit us from seeing through God's eyes. Y'all remember that? I did tell you that walking in the Spirit is walking in the Word. But then I told you that I want to show you a new perspective to walking in the Spirit, such as looking vertically. Y'all remember that? The Spirit is a man's vertical window, giving him the ability to see and to think like God. Y'all remember that? Walking in the Spirit is walking in the Word. Walking in the Spirit is also the ability to look at things the way that God looks at it. Walking in the Spirit is thinking like God thinks. And the more I think about this, I came early today, I'm sitting down in my office, and I'm going over this thing in my head. Alas, we would pay attention to little things like this. There are so many things out there today that will steal the things that God has for you and I due to our way of thinking. And I gave you last week two major deterrents that will prevent you from walking in the Spirit. One of them was current circumstances. Are you with me? One of the stuff I showed you last week was our current circumstances may limit us from seeing things the way that God sees it. And sometimes it's a doctor's report. Sometimes it's a problem with the marriage. Sometimes it's a problem with children. And the worst of all is sometimes there are some symptoms. Somebody came to me yesterday and said, I need you to pray for me. I said, again? You've been prayed by the woman, you've been prayed by her husband, and I prayed for you already, and you want to pray again? Yes. I said, nothing's going to happen. Excuse me? I said, nothing is going to happen. I'm going to pray for you right now, but nothing is going to happen. Oh my gee, why you say that? So what makes you think that if I pray for you again, something will happen? Well, you don't understand. I am battling some symptoms of cancer. I said, is that right? Yes. Has the doctor said you have cancer? No, but I have all the symptoms. And I'm thinking, how idiotic can it be? The fact that you are losing a lot of weight, it doesn't mean you have cancer. It might mean that you have low thyroid. Come on. Then I ask her, what are you going to do about it? Well, I want you to pray. So I'm not going to pray, I told you. So, you have not been told by any physician that you have cancer. And just because you're losing a lot of weight and some hair, you think you have cancer. Yes. Sometimes the circumstances around us will hinder and prevent us from seeing things through God's perspective. So what about if you would have a low thyroid? That will do it. Therefore, don't let your circumstances rob you away. Don't let your current circumstances limit what you can see. Walking in the flesh is to be limited in what we can see. The flesh, walking in the flesh is to only see what our eye can see, and only hear what our eyes can hear. So this is one of the greatest weapons used by our enemy to hinder or limit us from seeing the way that God sees. The flesh will say, I will have it when I see it. I will believe in my healing when that ache disappears. When that tumor dries, then I'll believe it. But when we walk in the Spirit, we look at things the way that God sees it. God says that by His stripes you're healed. So if you do have a tumor, all you have to say, despite of your presence, you're going to go. Because God says, I'm healed. That's walking in the Spirit. Now, there are some other things like, number two, our previous experience may also limit us from seeing things the way that God sees it. Our past experience, previous experience, may limit us from joining the goodies that God has for us because we are stuck on that vicious cycle. Many times, people will come and say, well, preacher, I hear what you say, but my record shows, and who cares about your records? The book says that if you are in Christ, you're a new creation, doesn't it? Doesn't it say that the old things has passed away? And that everything has become new? Well, but you don't understand. Now you don't understand. What happened yesterday is what under the bridge. Unless you are a museum, get out of the past. Don't try to see your future through the eyes of your past. Don't let your past limit your future. Don't allow yourself or your dreams or the things you're believing for to be limited by your current circumstance or by your previous experience. Are you with me so far? What is gone. It's water under the bridge. Say amen. Amen. Now tonight, I want to show you another hindrance for anyone who wants to experience God's power, God's blessings, God's miracle. The third hindrance is we limit ourselves by listening to other people's experiences. Now, listen to me carefully. Sometimes listening to other people's experience may be a motivation to boost our faith. But we should never, ever, ever, ever see our own future through the eyes of somebody else's experience. Because we are unique. Amen. And because of the fact that we are unique, we need to have our own experience with God. Amen. You say, well, preacher, you know, I know a lot of people that will tell me, well, I've been around for a while. I've seen a lot. Some people will come to you and say, well, based on my experience, I would say you can only go so far. Based on my experience, you don't have what it takes. You know what your response for somebody like this should be? Take your experience and go bury it somewhere. Because I don't really care about what you have experienced. You say, that's rude. No, you should go even further. Don't try to put some sort of bondage on me. Why would you say that? Because somebody else's experience may have placed them into bondage. Don't allow yourself. You may think a person is experienced in a particular subject. But let me tell you this, folks. Experience must not be our God. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? Amen. We might find a lot of people that are very experienced in prophecy. That should not derail us from pursuing our God and our own experience with our God. Somebody else's prophetic gift must not become our God. Somebody else's healing gift must not become our God. Because God is interested in you as much as He is in the prophet or in the miracle worker. Now, be smart. I'm not saying here that we should ignore practical knowledge like gravity. If somebody would tell us, based on my experience, every time someone jumps off a third floor, they'll break their leg. You should listen. Are you with me here? Because this is practical stuff. Now, some smarty pants will say, well, I'm in the spirit. I can do it. I'm going to jump from the third floor. You're going to break your leg. Are you with me here? And that is based on the law of gravity. Somebody recently called and says, my neighbor said that she had an aunt who died of the same thing that I'm having right now. She even said that as I start to coughing, it sounds just like her aunt. In fact, it was worse, sounded worse than her aunt. And I'm thinking, my Lord, what is happening to the church? The fact that somebody else has had that experience doesn't mean that you're going to die from a cough or from coughing. And many of us fall into that trap thinking that we are being humble. What do you mean? You may think that you are just being true to your heart and you are going to be humble and respect what that person says. Baloney! That is to be in the flesh. Their experience, if you give heed to it, is now limiting what God can do in your life. Dr. Don Colbert asked me, so, is this it? I said, no. You look at the building, he says, this is such a beautiful building. I have been in several places. I have seen some beautiful buildings, but there's something about this place. I said, yes, it's designed by Jesus. And then he asked me, so this is it? I said, no, sir, this is just the beginning. And then he goes, oh, wow. So what's next? I said, we're going to buy this property here on the back, this little piece of land here. And so then we're going to pull the sanctuary all the way to the back. We're going to double in size. Amen. Oh, wow. And then you're done. Said, so, no. After we do that, we're going to buy the whole back. So we can have parking lot for 300 cars, 400 cars. Oh, wow. You want to buy the back? Yes, I will. If the Lord does not return. He's looking at me and he's nodding his head and say, you know what? I wish Mary would hear this. We will never borrow money again to do nothing we have to do for God. Amen. And I'm thinking, smart move. Right. He goes on to say, well, you know, I have seen a lot of preachers when they get something like this, they are content with it and they settle down. So no. The move that God is preparing to make around here is so big, within no time, this place will be filled. And I know that some of you are a little, we just finished building. Yes. And you already want to start the building again? Not yet. We're going to finish the children's class, and then we're going to go backwards. We don't have people to fill this place. Well, you don't realize. Everybody thought that once we finished building, that this place would be jam-packed the next Sunday. And it didn't happen. And some were murmuring in the background, now we've got a big building and we didn't fill it out yet. It's okay. That's okay. I don't want to have the crowd that don't want to take God serious. Amen. I wait 5 years if I have to, 10 years if I have to, for God to send the faithful ones. Amen. The one that means business with God. Amen. Now, they fail to realize that we are having an average now of 150 people on Sunday mornings. So we went from 50, 60 across the street, 80 to 100 on the trailer. Now we are bordering 120, 140, 150. This is a regular Sunday without a guest speaker. So what you're trying to say? I will not limit somebody else's experience. I will not allow somebody else's experience to limit what God is about to do for BCFC. Amen. Our vision is not based on somebody else's experience. One thing I know, God wants to do great things at BCFC. Amen. And if the Lord allow, we might even have enough time to start the second congregation. It's on the cook. It's on the works. Meanwhile, we're going to continue to concentrate in here. We're going to continue to work in here. And when you don't know, this place is going to be packed. Amen. Then you may ask, so why is it packed now? Because we don't have enough parking space. We get 44 parking space. That gives us 160 seats. When inspection time comes, all these chairs has to go on the side, has to get out of here. And 3 or 4 rows on the back has to get out. Because by law, we can only have 176 people in here. Are you with me?
Yes.
So we will not allow somebody else's experience to limit what God has for us. And I believe that God will do something much better, much bigger, much greater than you and I can visualize right now. So we will by no means allow that other people's experiences will limit what our God is doing for us. The fourth element that will hinder you and I from seeing things that will limit us from perceiving things in God's point of view is people's words. What do you mean, people's word? Our words and other people around us, words. You may say, now I get a little lost. Break it for me. The words that we speak carries weight and carries power. When Brother Donald Williams was diagnosed with a tumor, we were talking in the office. He said, you know what, Pastor? I do not accept those words. And I'm thinking, my boy, that's how it's supposed to be. It does not matter what the doctor said. My God has the power to override what the doctor said. So sometimes our own words limit us from seeing things through the eyes of God. Our own words limit us to experiencing the blessings that God has for us. And you know, many times we, in a moment of frustration, I'm so dumb. Why would you speak such a word to you like this? It's really dumb to speak something like this. You're in the flesh. When you're in the spirit, you look at things the way that God does. Well, Lord, I may have missed this, but I'm up to you, Holy Spirit, for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You know, would you mind making a goal, starting from tonight, to believe that you are led by the Spirit. Amen. Would you mind doing that? Amen. Listen to Romans chapter 8. Let's start on verse 9. Make that decision that you will believe, even though you don't, but you're going to start speaking, I am led by the Spirit of God. Now, but you're not in the flesh. Say, I'm not on the flesh. You are not on the flesh. Get that straight. So stop speaking dumb words over yourself. Sometimes when I wake up in the morning, I look at the mirror. Are you doing, you handsome one? You're not on the flesh. You are in the Spirit. Yes, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Then he goes on for the kill. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. So have you made a decision to follow Christ? Yes. So you belong to him. On the moment that you made the decision to follow Christ, the Spirit came to dwell within you. Now, just choose to believe that the Spirit of mighty God is dwelling within you. Plain and simple. We will not allow the words of other people to distract our vision and to distort our ability to see things the way that God does. A visitor came here 3 weeks ago, and I was pulled aside, and he started telling me all the yada, 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 yada. I said, brother, stop. But I didn't finish. I don't want to hear anymore. I'm sorry. Do I have to be a member of the church for you to listen to me? He said, no, if you would be a member of the church, I would put you in discipline. Excuse me? You know how boring you are? And I know it's harsh. And the man is looking at me. Wow. Said, indeed, wow. Did you notice that from the moment you open your lips, you are just talking doom? Negative stuff. Well, they're happening. Then do something about it. What do you want me to do? I don't want you to do anything. It's your life. But just for starters, start speaking the opposite of what you're speaking right now. Huh? Dude, you have the Spirit of Christ. You're not on the flesh. Did you hear what you just spoke about your children? Oh, they are behaving bad. Then you speak life over them. You speak salvation. You speak obedience. You speak submission unto Christ. Just for a change. Try it for 90 days. 90 days! Well, you've been talking to them all your life. So let's start by 90 days. He's looking at me like I had 3 heads on the top of my shoulder. Can you pray for them? I said, no. Why? You are the dad. I don't know what you spoke over their lives. Now, if you pray, I will agree with you. So we had a quick prayer on the hallway. Everybody's already gone. I gotta go home. Once he finished, he said, Lord, I agree with the words of this man. In the name of Jesus, may it come to pass. You know what he said? It feels strange praying like this. You got used to speak doom. So our words and people's word can distort our vision of reality. It will limit how we see things. And we want to see things through the eyes of the Spirit. We want to see things through the eyes of God. So we're going to change the way we speak Because we are not in the flesh. Remember, the flesh will only accept what it can see. We'll only believe what it can see. We'll only accept what it can hear. Now we look beyond that point. We will believe in what God says. And the more I think about this, well, if I can see the invisible, I'm going to be able to do the impossible. So I am not going to be stuck on words from other people, or not even my own words, negative words. Folks, let us not be betrayed by our own words. You know, many parents will look at their kids and they will say, well, based on what I have seen and the way that you do your homework, you're never going to make it to a really good college. You know somebody ever did that? You might as well just get ready for community college and get a job and do this and that. Well, I want you to listen to me carefully here. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with community college. Did you hear that? It's simply saying, what I'm just saying here simply is, don't you ever put limitation on other people's life. If your children wants to go to Yale or Harvard or any other college, it's good. Amen. If they want to go to a community college, it's good too. My point here is, I'm not going to allow my word, and I'm asking you, don't allow your words to limit your children's future. Don't allow your words to limit you on or your own future. You know, I'd rather agree with God. Don't allow other people's words or failure limit you and what God has for you. Some people will tell you, well, I tried this once, it didn't work. Well, maybe that was the problem. They only tried once. You know what I mean? You might have someone say to you, I tried to start a business just like you are, and it didn't work. Well, don't let them bring their bad track record into your record. Folks, it might be the picture of their past, but it does not have to be a reflect of your future. Amen. And you know, folks like Thomas Edison, I've been told that Thomas Edison tried thousands of times to come up with this. Now, can you imagine if he had given up in the first time? We would have some candle around here. You know, or some gas lamp and the stinking smoke going on and making everything dark. But Thomas Edison, I've been told, tried thousands of times until he got it right. George Washington, our president, I've been told, he tried to start a business, he failed. Then he tried the Senate and he failed. He tried the presidency, he failed. And then he tried the presidency again, and he won. And history tells us that was one of the greatest presidents the United States of America has ever had. So what you're saying? Don't allow your own words or somebody else's words put a limit, put a cap on what God is willing and will do through you. I am preacher. You know, I hear what you're saying, but there's no buts here. Let me give you something very simple here, and I want you to meditate on this. When we start talking too much, something about us, it starts forming an image in our heads. Then we start thinking about that image. You stay with me here. If the image is a distorted image, you have vain imagination that will be contrary to the Word of God. Now, the problem with this whole thing is the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So when we start paying too much attention to what the words of other people are and not to what God thinks about us, we may end up with a distorted image of ourselves. You know, some people will get mad when you try because they failed. And if you succeed, they'll be even mad because they didn't make it. Therefore, you and I have the obligation to guard our hearts. Listen to what the Bible says in Proverbs 4:23. On the New King James Version is good. On the King James, whatever you have over there, I'll take it. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, tell us the following words. Read it with me. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. If we keep taking in negative words from other people, and sometimes even from family members, keep taking in negative words, and then we start speaking negative words about ourselves, it ended up going down to our hearts. And then issues will start to pop up in our lives. Are you with me here? So what you're saying? What I'm saying is just one simple thing. Don't let other people's word or your own word limit you. Put a cap on what God wants to do in your life and through your life. Some people don't want you to succeed because it may make them feel even worse that you made it and they didn't. But I'm calling you now. Go on. Listen to the word of God, not to the word of people around you. Then you can go back and tell them, if I make it, you can make it too. Amen. Don't quit after one try or two tries. You know, I was just thinking about this afternoon. The first time I came to talk to Dennis Nicely, the man that used to own this land, he threw me off the horse. Okay, I went back, talked to the boss. Did I miss something here? Nope. All right. I came the second time, he threw me out of the horse again. I'm thinking, this is not fun. Did I miss something here? Nope. All right. The third time I came, I had to rephrase my words a little bit. When he said no, I had to say, listen, you're an independent contractor, you don't have insurance. If a tractor trailer hits you on 695, you're going to end up on Johns Hopkins without insurance. This house is going to go for auction, and I'll buy it very cheap. He goes, oh my God, what kind of preacher are you, man? Just a realistic one. And we end up closing the deal. If I would take the words of that man or of the people who left when we took over, we would be somewhere down in the mall, one of the little malls down the street. Don't let your future, nor the things that God wants to do in your life and through your lives, be limited by the words of other people. Don't look at yourself through the eyes of somebody else. Don't put words in your lips that will cast you down. Are you with me here? Amen. The Bible says, may the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasant unto you, O Lord. May our lives, our thoughts, and our lips be filled with the words of God. May our eyes and our understanding look to ourselves and upon ourselves the same way that God does. And I'm going to wrap up with Ephesians 1:3. Ephesians 1:3. Read it with me. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, oh my, you are blessed with so much blessings and you don't even realize. Remain blessed in Jesus' name.